Okay, so my next talk is entitled Improving Tomato Cold Tolerance Through Grafting. Now, as I mentioned prior, there has been a lot of studies indicating that rootstocks have these additional benefits, and one of those is cold tolerance. Similar to the other studies, the issue is we don't exactly know what the mechanism is that allows them to grow under more suboptimal temperatures. And so once again, we wanted to focus on root system morphology as a potential answer or clue as to what may allow these different rootstocks to improve cold tolerance. Now, the one thing that's interesting about cold stress is that it manifests itself very similarly to drought stress. So under normal warm conditions, when there's plenty of water, we've got high rates of hydraulic conductance, so water moving from the roots to the shoot. And because of this, we've got good open stomata, nice gas exchange. Now, under suboptimal temperature or cold stress, even if there's ample water, we get a reduction in root hydraulic conductance. And this is due in part because water is more viscous as it gets colder. And while it doesn't seem like a big change to us, this increase in viscosity makes it that much harder for water to move through the soil profile, through the roots, and up into the shoot. But additionally, at these colder temperatures, we get an overall reduction in root growth and enzymatic activity. And so everything's just a lot slower. Now, because of this, and since there's less water moving to the shoot's going to respond as if it was under drought stress. So it's going to close its stomata, and in doing so, it preserves as much water as possible, but it also limits CO2 coming in. So we get an overall reduction in photosynthesis, but additionally, in the shoot, just like in the roots, there's a downregulation of the photosynthetic apparatus because everything's just working that much slower. Now, at a more macro level, what we see in cold stress plants is they are shorter, generally stunted, so leaf area is smaller. And one thing that's very unique to cold stress plants is that there is an increase in starch concentration in the leaves. And this is due to the fact that we get that decrease in growth in the root system, so we get a decrease in that photosynthate sink strength. And so any photosynthate that's synthesized in the leaves is going to stay there and build up as starch. Now, tomatoes are subtropical in origin, or I should say Solanum lycopersicum are subtropical in origin. They come from a region around the Bolivia and Peru border at an altitude below about 3,000 meters. And because of this, they really need temperatures above 18 degrees Celsius to grow and produce well. Now, unfortunately, there's very little, if any, genetic diversity within Solanum lycopersicum regarding cold tolerance. And so what growers and breeders have done is looked outside of Solanum lycopersicum at other wild accessions or species that may actually have more cold tolerance. And one that they looked at was this specific Solanum. This is Solanum habrocades. So it's related to Solanum lycopersicum, but it grows at a much higher altitude, and it regularly experiences temperatures as low as 10 degrees and even a little bit colder without any ill effect. And when I mentioned that grafting has been shown to improve cold tolerance, this is what they use as a rootstock. So they're using this wild accession, and they've shown that when using this as a rootstock, it can improve the cold tolerance of a Solanum lycopersicum scion. But as I mentioned, they're not exactly sure what allows it to do that. So in this study, we wanted to once again look at the shoot and root morphological and physiological responses to suboptimal temperatures. So we utilized Moneymaker. It's a pretty common greenhouse cultivar for both a non-grafted and a self-grafted control. And then we had three rootstocks. So first, we were able to get seeds of the specific line accession utilized in those prior grafting studies of Solanum habrocades as one of our rootstocks. We then used Shield and Multifort. Once again, these two had very different root system morphologies. Multifort had a similar root system to Beaufort. And the one interesting thing about these rootstocks is that Shield is an intraspecific hybrid of just Solanum lycopersicum. Multifort is an interspecific hybrid of Solanum lycopersicum and Solanum habrocades. So in doing so, we can look at both root system morphology as well as rootstock parental lineage in this study. Now, we conducted this at NC State's Phytotron, so these were controlled environments, and we had two chambers. We had our optimal temperature, which was 25 degrees Celsius during the day, 20 at night, and then our suboptimal temperature, which was 15 degrees Celsius day and night. So very, very chilly for tomatoes. So we started everything in our optimal chamber. We then grafted there and healed them. Once they were healed, we transplanted them once again in that turfus and sand media because we want to look at the root system morphology. We then let them acclimate for 5 days, moved them into their respective chambers, and grew them out for 10 days. We had four rootstocks per rep, per rep within each chamber. We did this twice, and we had to analyze this as a split plot due to the overall experimental design. Similar to the prior study, the day before we harvested tissue, we used a LICOR to look at stomatal conductance, net CO2 assimilation rate, 5PS2, and we looked at leaf area. We worked with Penelope Perkins-Veazey at Kannapolis to look at both soluble sugar and starch concentration in a single leaf from each of the plants. And in the root systems, we looked once again at total root length, average diameter, diameter class length 1, and, or I should say our diameter class lengths and our relative diameter class lengths. Now, before I go on, I want to point this out. This is a picture of grafting compatibility. We had a really, really hard time grafting onto Solanum habrocates. With our normal rootstocks and self-grafted plants, we were getting around 95% success with our healing. With these, we were getting about 15 to 20% success. And the ones that did heal correctly showed a lot of grafting compatibility, where the sign is much thicker than the rootstock. And we found that the growth, regardless of the chamber they're in, was very variable. And so I'm going to have the results in here using this, but we're going to really reserve any conclusions using this as a rootstock just because of the grafting compatibility that we saw. So what I want to point out here is, first looking at the shoot responses, we saw a significant interaction for our leaf area, net CO2 assimilation rate, as well as leaf starch concentration. But that we also found a significant graft effect when we looked at 5PS2. We didn't see any effect on any of the soluble sugars measured in the leaf material. Looking at our root responses, we saw a significant interaction for all of them except for diameter class lengths 2 and 3 and relative diameter class length 3. So before I get into the results, these are just some representative images. So these are our different grafted treatments in our optimal chamber, right? So 25 degrees day, 20 degrees night. NG stands for non-grafted. SG is self-grafted. We don't see a ton of differences here. You know, you might say that the multifort plants look like they have a little bit larger leaf area, but nothing huge. But when we look at the suboptimal temperature, what really stood out to us was the multifort plants were much bigger than the others visually. And to give you an idea of that, this is Moneymaker self-grafted next to Moneymaker on multifort from both from the same chamber, the suboptimal temperature. And something else that was really interesting is if we were to look at the non-grafted control grown in an optimal versus suboptimal, we see this stunting, this cold stress, which is pretty typical of a cold stress plant. But when we looked at our multifort grafted plants, we don't see the same degree of stunting as we did in our other treatments. So to first look at leaf area, the way I have this graph set up is the pink bars are our optimal chamber, our optimal temperature. The turquoise bar are our suboptimal temperature. So at optimal temperature, we're not really seeing any difference among the treatments at our optimal temperature, as I said. But at reduced temperatures, we see a decline in leaf area except in multifort. Multifort wasn't different from any of the other treatments in the optimal chambers, nor the multifort grafted plants in the optimal chamber as well. Looking at net CO2 assimilation rate, remember this is kind of the rate of photosynthesis. One of the interesting things we saw was that at optimal temperature, multifort had a higher rate of net CO2 assimilation rate compared to the non-grafted and self-grafted plants. And when we reduced that temperature, once again, we see that multifort had a much higher rate compared to the other treatments. Now to look at leaf starch concentration, remember, cold stress plants have an increase in starch concentration in their leaves. So at optimal temperatures, we don't see any difference among any of the treatments as far as starch goes. But when we reduce those temperatures, what we see is an increase in the non-grafted, self-grafted, and shield-grafted plants that is significantly higher than plants grafted onto Beaufort. Beaufort's able to maintain a much lower level of starch in its leaves compared to those other three treatments. Now, I really just want to focus here on the graft main effects on effective quantum yield of photosystem 2. This is the proportion of photons used for photosynthesis. And the main thing I want to point out here is that the multifort grafted plants had much higher 5PS2 compared to both the self-grafted and the non-grafted. And this is regardless of temperature regime. total root length, we didn't see any difference among total root length at optimal temperature, but at the suboptimal temperature, we saw that Multifort had much longer roots compared to any of the other treatments in the study. Similar with average root diameter, even though the root lengths were more or less the same at optimal temperature, they were much thinner. The average root diameter at optimal temperatures was much thinner than any of the other treatments. And while it wasn't statistically significant at the suboptimal temperatures, we still see a thinning of the roots for the Multifort rootstock. Okay, finally, once again looking at relative diameter class length 1, the proportion of our root length that's composed of very thin, high absorptive capacity roots. At optimal temperatures, there's no difference among our rootstocks. They're all around 80%, okay? At suboptimal temperatures, what we see is a drop in this percentage in all the treatments except for Multifort. Multifort's able to maintain about 80% of its root length in these very high absorptive capacity, thin diameter roots. And so if we look at the actual length of those diameter class length 1 roots, we see at optimal temperatures, once again, there's no difference. But at the suboptimal temperature, much more length in Multifort of these roots that are less than half a millimeter in diameter compared to any of the other treatments. So overall conclusion is, at least in these early stages, Multifort appears to improve suboptimal cold tolerance. And we see this in increased leaf area, increased net CO2 assimilation rate, and it also maintained a lower starch concentration. Now, as I mentioned, it's able to maintain a much longer, thin root system. And at suboptimal temperatures, it had about 42 to 56% more fine root length. And when I say fine, I mean less than half a millimeter. And if you remember from the prior study, it's been shown that plants on root systems that have a very thin average root diameter have a higher rate of hydraulic conductance. And this may aid in cold tolerance. And in doing so, by having this much thinner root system, Multifort may be able to improve hydraulic conductance even at suboptimal temperatures. Now further, because it had a longer root length at the suboptimal temperatures, it needs more photosynthate, and that may explain why we saw lower starch concentrations in the leaves and an increase in net CO2 assimilation rate and 5PS2. Once again, I'd like to thank all of my technical assistants, especially at the NCSU Phytotron. I had a lot of people helping me clean roots, as you can probably imagine. Once again, thanking my funding, and I will take any questions. I have 3 minutes again for questions. Yes?
I'm curious, how old were the seedlings when you grafted?
Okay, the question was, how old were the seedlings when we grafted them? So the seedlings, when we grafted them, were usually about 2 weeks old. We don't necessarily wait for a certain time. It's more for the hypocotyl diameter. Now, the one thing I will say about when we used the Solanum hybrocates, there were a couple researchers that had better results with their grafting, and they planted theirs 10 days prior to all the others. So we did the same thing. We planted them 10 days prior, and the hypocotyl matched more or less. One thing that's interesting about Solanum hybrocates is that its hypocotyl is very, very, very short. And so sometimes you would have to graft above that, which isn't ideal, but it's what you have to do. Yes?
In mid to upper latitudes, springtime conditions can often include warmer air temperatures than soil temperatures, like temperatures, including as created by cold irrigation pipes. So
sure. So the question was in regards to the differences in potential air and soil temperature as well as the irrigation water applied. So one thing I will say is that the water that we utilized when we irrigated these plants was tempered prior to irrigation. So, you know, in the 15-degree chamber, it was 15 degrees. So in that regards, I would say maybe, you know, I don't want to extend these results too far out, but I do think that potentially it could, especially for early season. You know, we're not talking about winter growing in the field, but maybe a couple weeks earlier than growers typically would do it when the air temperature is warm but that soil remains cool. Yes, you may be able to get more growth out of those plants with Multifort.
Thank you.